Indeed, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the day that the Lord has made, so we shall rejoice and we shall all be glad in it. I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to this year's pastors and spouses retreat. This year we are not meeting physically. This time last year we were in Ifewara with about 300 couples meeting. But we thank the Lord this are different times and we needed to adjust. We trust the Lord that despite the fact that we are not meeting physically, wherever you are in your home, whether you are gathered in your church, at work or in your vehicle, we trust that God will meet with you today, tomorrow, and on Sunday in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be able to see you, pastors, ministers and their spouses, youth leaders. You are not leaders of the future, you are leaders of now. God bless you all. I bring greetings from our general overseer, Brother Paul, and Mommy Kate Jinadu, also from our associate general overseer, Reverend Emmanuel and Reverend Mrs. Abimbola Ajao. I also bring greetings from my wife, Sister Yemisi. Good to see you all online. These are very, very special times, like I said. In the last 3 months, if you told us in December that the church would not meet for 3 months in the first half of the year, many would find it difficult to believe. But it didn't catch God by surprise. It might have caught us by surprise, but I want to let you know God knows what he's doing. All things work together for good to those of us who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And so I want to commend you specially, every satellite pastor and the satellite pastor's spouse, the pastoral team of every satellite church, the elders, the leaders. I want to thank you for holding the fort. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You are the colonels, the majors on the battlefront. I pray that the Lord himself will encourage you, that this weekend it will soothe you, it will comfort you, it will inspire you, and you will fulfill your purpose. Through you, the Church of Jesus Christ will be expanded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to commend specially our youth leaders, youth pastors in every center, the youth executive in every center. Thank God for your lives. Thank God for your faithfulness. Like I said earlier, you are not the leaders of the future. You are the leaders now. With you, we have confidence that the church has a future. And so as we gather together this weekend, I trust the Lord to meet with us at the point of our needs. I want to reiterate the earlier announcement that before we end this evening, we'll be taking questions. And so as I speak, I want you to put down your questions and send it to the appropriate channels. Start with questions that are relevant to what we'll be sharing today. But you can also bring other questions. If we have sufficient time, we may take other questions. But our concentration will be the questions related to what we'll be doing this weekend. And like you've been told, our theme is the church in contemporary times. The church in contemporary times. The theme is not the contemporary church. It is that same church of Jesus Christ that was birthed in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The church never changes. Jesus Christ says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church never changes. But the church is operating in changing environment. The church is operating in changing circumstances. These are contemporary times. The church in 2020 is different from the church in 1960, different from the church in 1940, even different from the church in 2010, 10 years ago. And so this weekend, today and tomorrow, we'll be examining this theme under three parts. The theme is the church in contemporary times. Part one, we'll be examining the church. In other words, the state of the church. in particular New Covenant Church. Part two, we'll be examining contemporary times. What is happening presently all over the world and in Nigeria. And part three, we'll be examining what should be our response as a church to the changes that we see in contemporary times. And so we take off with the first part, the church. That's New Covenant Church globally. As you remember, as a branch of the same church that Jesus Christ is building, we started in Samonda 1985, which makes 35 years last month. Just last month, May 2020, New Covenant Church has been in existence for a whole of 35 years. All the glory to the Lord. Many of you who are pastors, who are leaders today, perhaps you were not born again then. For some of you were not yet born then. But thank God that when you got born again, the Lord led you to New Covenant Church, and today you are holding important positions. You are pillars in the church. I pray that God will strengthen you to the end, that you will not shake, you will not fall, you will not falter, and the purpose why God brought you to the church as a pillar will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. So in the last 35 years, from 1985 to this year 2020, by the grace of God, we have over 500 branches, over 500 local congregations in cities, in towns, in villages, all over the world. We are presently located in 43 countries. And these 43 countries are spread over 5 continents. And so by the grace of God, wherever you may be, in Nigeria, the northwest, the northeast, southeast, south, south, or southwest, or north central, you are not alone. You belong to a global church. You belong and you are a minister in the New Covenant Church, which is represented in 5 continents in 43 countries. I would like to give the spread of the church. We're in Africa, and we have 26, we're in 26 countries, almost half of the countries in Africa. 26 countries in Africa, and that includes Nigeria, our beloved country. We're also in North America. We're in 2 countries in North America, that is Canada and United States of America. Thirdly, we are in Asia. We are in 6 countries presently in Asia. Bangladesh, India, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, Philippines in Asia. A few minutes ago, we had the testimony from one of our international pastors, Brother Adebola Abioye, as to how the church got to Myanmar, as to how the church got to Bangladesh, without anybody visiting Bangladesh or Myanmar from Nigeria. All the glory to God. So in Asia, we are represented in 6 countries. Number 4, in Australasia. Australasia is a continent that has only 2 countries, Australia and New Zealand. We are in Australia, that is Melbourne in Australia. In Europe, we are in 6 countries. The countries are Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Poland, Spain, and of course the United Kingdom, where our international administrative office is and where our General Overseer, Reverend Paul Ginadu, resides. So in Europe, we're in 6 countries. In the Middle East, we are stating it as number 6, is part of Asia, but because of its special nature, is a place where we seriously are interested in. It's a place where Israel is and where Arab countries are. So we have stated it separately. Presently, we are in 2 countries in the Middle East. These are United Arab Emirates. Popularly, you know Dubai. Dubai is just one of the 5 or 6 Emirates in UAE. So we are in Dubai, in United Arab Emirates, and we are in Qatar. One of our international pastors is based in Qatar. So, if you add all these countries together, 26 in Africa, 2 in North America, 6 in Asia, 1 in Australia, 6 in Europe, and 2 in Middle East, it will give you 43. So that accounts for the 43 countries where we are presently. So what it means is that we are not yet in South America. Latin America, Central America, South America, with a very, very large population, we are not represented. We've been represented there before, but some things happened and the churches closed up in South America. Towards the end of last year, in one of our prayer meetings in October in Ibadan, praying for growth, I remember telling us that we were in 42 countries for those who were in that national fasting and prayer meeting in Ibadan in October 2019. We said we were then in 42 countries, and you will remember those who were at that prayer meeting, we set a target for ourselves that in 2020 we will reach 38 countries more, bringing us to a total of 80 countries. We thank the Lord that in February, March, just before the lockdown, we started in the 43rd country, which was Melbourne, Australia. All the glory to God before the lockdown. And we trust the Lord that as the lockdown is relaxed, what God has done in the last few months, 3 months, is to give us a rest, is to help us re-strategize. As the economies are open, as the society is open and back to business, we are going to run. Not only are we going to run, we are going to fly. And we are going to cover many, many more countries in all the continents in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank God that this year we went into a new country, which is Australia. And right now, by the grace of God, we have a church in Melbourne, Australia. I've only mentioned countries in which we have a congregation that meets on Sunday. There are a few other countries where work is going on, they make midweek, but they have not metamorphosed into regular Sunday congregation yet. Trusting the Lord that this year, many, many more of such centers shall be started. And I can see in you some of those who will be going to start those centers. Do I have an amen? I've talked about New Covenant Church globally. Now let's come home to Nigeria. Out of the over 500 countries, over 500 centers we have all over the world, 400 of them are in Nigeria. Nigeria is blessed. Nigeria is the fulcrum of what the Lord is doing through New Covenant Church, because the church started in Nigeria. As a matter of fact, the church started in Ibadan, Nigeria. And that's why in Nigeria we have over 400 centers, and half of them, 200 of those centers, are in and around Ibadan, where we started 35 years ago. The 400 branches we have in Nigeria, we have not counted the centers we have outside Nigeria, but that were planted from Nigeria. So if you count that, we'll maybe far more than that. There's many of these branches in Africa, in other countries that have been overseen and supervised from Nigeria because they were planted. So now let's talk about the location of the 400 centers we have in Nigeria. You would appreciate the fact that Nigeria has been politically arranged and divided into 6 regions: southwest, south-south, southeast, northwest, north-central, and northeast. Presently in Nigeria, by the grace of God, we are represented in 22 states out of 36 states. In other words, we are yet to reach 14 states. We are also in the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja, by the grace of God. the 36 states, the 22 states in which we are represented, used to be more than 22. As a matter of fact, we were 24 states. But unfortunately, the church in Abia State closed. The church in Enugu State is presently not operational. That's why we have reduced to 22 states. So we have 14 states to reach. I'd like to go over the spread of those centers in Nigeria. Don't forget, we're talking about the state of the church before we start to talk about contemporary times. So we need to let you know, as pillars, as ministers, as leaders in the church, what the state of our church is presently. In the southwest of Nigeria, which has six states, we are represented in each of the six states. In the south-south of Nigeria, which also has six states, we are represented in each of those six states. In the north-central part of Nigeria, which has six states, we are represented in each of the six states. Praise the Lord. So in three of the regions, we are represented in every state. Those are southwest, that is Ekiti, Lagos, Ogun, Ondo, Osun, and Oyo. We are in each of the states to the glory of God. In south-south, we are in Akwa Ibom, Bayelsa, Cross River, Delta, Edo, and Rivers. In north-central, by the grace of God, we are in each of the six states, Benue, Kogi, Kwara, Nasarawa, Niger State, and Plateau State. Unfortunately, the remaining three states, we are not doing well at all. In the southeast, which has five states, we are represented only in two out of five states. We are represented in Anambra with a branch in Oka, and we are represented in Imo with a branch in a place very near Owerri in Imo State. But in the southeast, we are not in Abia State. We are not in Enugu State. We had churches there before, but they have closed. And we have never been to Ebonyi, whose capital is Abakaliki. So we are not in three states in the southeast. That's even better than the north. In the northwest, which has the largest number of states, it has seven states in northwest. We are represented only in one, which is Kaduna State. In the southwest, we are not represented in six states. Jigawa, we are not there. Kano, we are not there. Katsina, we are not there. Kebbi, we are not there. Sokoto, we are not there. Zamfara, we are not there. With a similar story in the northeast. Northeast has six states, but we are represented only in one, which is Taraba State. In other words, in the northeast part of Nigeria, we are not represented in Adamawa, we are not represented in Bauchi, we are not represented in Borno, we are not represented in Gombe, we are not represented in Yobe. So you see that we have a long way to go. We have 14 states where we are not represented. Three of the states are in southeast, five of the states are in northeast, and six of the states are in northwest. Like I said, in a few of the states, I know that there are fellowships going on presently. I know of a few states, some in the north, some in the southeast, that fellowships are going on presently, but they have not yet started to meet regularly on Sunday as a congregation. People still go to other churches and come for fellowship in preparation for us starting. So we are trusting the Lord that the remaining states will be reached by you, through you. The remaining countries in the different continents will be reached by you and through you. So let's go to part two. Part one, we examine the state of the church, the New Covenant Church globally and in Nigeria. Now, contemporary times. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, one mistake we can make is to think that the church operates in a vacuum. No. The church operates in an environment. As a matter of fact, without that environment, there cannot be the church. So we need to know the environment in which we're operating so that we can assess ourselves as a church. Are we faring? Are we doing well? Do you have room for improvement? What can we do to take advantage of the opportunities in the environment? What can we do to overcome the threats and challenges in the environment? We need to be forensic. We need to be strategic if we are going to be a church in the contemporary times. So let's look at the environment in which the church operates. We'll start globally. The global population, I'm talking of the population of the world in the last 60 years, has increased from 3 billion people in 1960 to 7.6 billion people this year. The United Nations has projected that by the end of this year, the world population will be 7.6 billion people. Whereas when Nigeria obtained our independence, the entire world was 3 billion people. So we have progressed. In 1960, we were 3 billion. In 1980, we were 3.7 billion. In 2000, we were 6 billion. In 2020, we were 7.6 billion. I've broken the 60 years into 2020 years. 1960, 3 billion. 1980, 3.7 billion. You could see a large jump. 2000, 6 billion. And 2020, 7.6 billion. So that's the world population increased by 250% in 60 years. 2.5 times it increased. That's the total number of people increased since Nigeria got independence. But we are looking at the global population now. Yes, that population of the people, 7.6 billion people all over the world, what is their religion? As at now, the estimates of religions in 2020 is that Christians are 32% of the world population. One out of three people in the world are Christians. But that is not very significant until you hear this. Out of the 32% that are Christians, 16% are Catholics. That is, half of people who profess to be Christians are Catholics. The other 16% are what is called Protestants. That is, the other denominations and Pentecostal churches. So while Christians account for 32%, Islam accounts for 23%. While one of six people on earth is, one of three people on earth is a Christian, one of five people is a Muslim. Hinduism accounts for 16%, Buddhism accounts for 8%, folk religion accounts for 6%, other smaller religions account for 1%, and non-religious people, those who do not believe in God, they don't believe in God. They include atheists, humanists, free thinkers, secularists. They are 14%. I'll go over that. To look at the world in which we are in, Christians are 32%. Half of them are Catholics. Half are non-Catholics. Muslims are 23%. Hindus are 16%. Buddhists are 8%. Those who follow folk religion are 6%. The other smaller religions account for 1%. And those who don't have any religion because they don't believe there is God are 14%. So, let us concentrate on the 32% that are Christians. My question to you is, everybody who profess to be a Christian, who bears a Christian name, Matthew, John, Peter, truly, do they know the Lord? Are they born again? You have them in your offices, in your families, in your neighborhood. Many of those who profess to be Christians have not been regenerated. I've never been washed by the blood. I've never surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus. My estimate, I don't have any statistics, I'm just imagining that less than 5% of the world is born again. In other words, 95% of the world are going to hell. In other words, if you gather 10 people here, over nine of them are going to hell. That's what it means. If Jesus will come now. You remember the vision shared by Brother Kunle a few minutes ago? The rapture can occur anytime. It means less than 1% out of 10 will go with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have talked about religion all over the world. Let's come back to Nigeria. Statistics in Nigeria shows that we have an equal population of Muslims and Christians. Christians, 45%. Muslims, 45%. Indigenous religions, 10%. In other words, in Nigeria, those who profess to be Muslims, not all of them are practicing, are 45%. Those who profess to be Christians, not all of them are practicing, are also 45%, totally 90%. The remaining 10% do not subscribe to Islam or Christianity. They are worshipping idols. Ogun, Ifa, Shango, Obatala, Oya, and all the other gods. They claim to be indigenous people, and they claim that the other religions were imported. Talking about the population and age, let's come to Nigeria. At independence in 1960, Nigeria's population was 45 million people. Actually 45.1, a little above 45 million. 60 years after, that is this year 2020, Nigeria's population is projected to be 206 million. This is official projection by the United Nations. That by the end of this year, Nigeria's population will be 206 million. Don't forget that I said the world population increased by 250%. That is, they were multiplied by 2.5%. But Nigeria's population increased by 450%. In other words, Nigeria is growing at a faster rate than the entire world. Life expectancy all over the world is 73%. Sorry, 73 years. I beg your pardon. 73 years. Life expectancy is 73 years all over the world. But in Nigeria, life expectancy is 55 years. What that means is that statisticians looking at the rate of birth, the rate of death, have projected that anyone born in the whole world will live for 73 years. But anyone born in Nigeria will live only for 55 years. Because of the condition of our health, because of armed robbery, kidnapping and terrorism, because of the health facilities and all that, and illiteracy and ignorance. Despite the fact that we are dying faster, our population is increasing more. Can you imagine if life expectancy was higher? Nigeria's population would have skyrocketed. And like we said last year, if you remember at our physical retreat at Ifewara last year, we reeled out a statistics of the distribution of ages of Nigeria population. I want to reiterate that statistics because it has not changed between last year and this year. Out of the 206 million people in Nigeria, 206 million people in Nigeria, 43% of them are less than 15 years old. Now that was age 0 to 14 are 43%. Age 15 to 24 are 20%. Age 25 to 54 are 30%. age 55 to 64 are only 4%. And those who are aged 65 and above are just 3%. So what that means is that 63% of Nigerians are less than 25 years old. One. And I've done a rough projection without being a statistician, and so don't take this as official. This is my hunch. That those who are less than 30 are likely to be about 70%. In other words, if you take youth and teenagers and children, youth that have not reached the age of 30, all of them together are 7 out of 10 Nigerians. Pastors, what does that mean? Those that we are ministering to are mainly youth. In fact, it is said that the mean age in Nigeria, the median age, is 18 years. What that means for statisticians is that if you look at an average Nigerian, the average age is 18 years. So I would like to ask you, how many people in that age range do you have in your church? If 70% of Nigerians are youth, how many of such Nigerians do you have in your local congregation? If the median age of Nigerians is 18 years, how many people are 18 years or below in your church? Many of our branches are geriatric centers with elderly people. Very good. We thank God for elderly people. I'm becoming one, and I'm grateful to God for long life. But we should know that things are changing. The church is not geriatric. The population is not geriatric. 70% are youth. And if we don't have them in the church, there is a problem. So I'll go through this summary before we take the questions and answers. We'll be taking the questions and answers soon. I'll go over this summary. My beloved servant of the Lord, pastors, pastor spouses, ministers in different arms of New Covenant Church, youth pastors, youth leaders. We live in a world where less than 5% of people are saved, whereas the entire population is 7.6 billion. Less than 5% of them are saved. The people around us, 14% of them believe that there is no God. They don't believe that there is any God. In other words, one out of seven people you meet on the road don't believe that there is a God. 23%, in other words, about one out of four people are Muslims. 16%, that is one out of eight people, one out of seven people are Catholic Christians. And so, what is that telling us? That is the environment you operate. That is the environment I operate. It would be very, very foolhardy of me not to understand that I'm responsible in the church, I'm ministering in the church, that God has placed me over a local church in such an environment. Pastor, this is not 1960. Many of us reminiscence are in those days, are in the 70s. Many of our elderly pastors in the 60s, in the 80s. Thank God for your life. I was alive then, and I thank God that I was alive then. But this is not 1960. This is not 1970. This is not 1980. This is not 1990s. We are starting the third decade in the 21st century. It's a new game entirely. A new kettle of fish entirely. If we are going to thrive as a pastor, as a congregation, as God's people, as the church, if we are going to prosper, if we are going to expand, if we are going to grow, we must appreciate the environment in which we operate. We'll be talking more about this tomorrow by the grace of God as to what we need to do. But I want to let you know today, my dear brothers and sisters, that things are changing. This is not even year 2000, 20 years ago. Things have changed and they are changing by the day. We'll be talking about the impact of COVID-19 tomorrow by the grace of God and the impact of other things that has affected the contemporary times. But you and I, if we're going to remain relevant, if we're not going to be relics, oh, that man used to be a successful pastor. Ah, that man had a lot of anointing. That woman, if she prayed like this, fire will fall. That was then. What are you now? Are you able to attract the people God has sent you to? Are you able to connect to them? Are you able to reach them? Are you able to attract them? Are you able to retain them? That's the crux of the matter. Evangelism, soul winning, which has no fruit, I think, is a wasted effort. Unless the person is saved and he can't come to you, but is in another Bible-believing church, that's fine. You have added to God's, to the body of Jesus Christ on earth. But if there is plenty of money spent on evangelism, on advertisement, on media, and it's not translating into salvation, it's not translating into changed lives, is not translating into these people coming and bowing down at the feet of Jesus. It does not translate to these people coming to our congregation and say, this is my spiritual home, then something is wrong. We need to take heed. And this weekend we'll be examining more of that. I want to get to heaven whenever my time is up or whenever Jesus comes and to hear that statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be able to please the Lord. I want to be able to show him fruits, Lord, in my years of ministry. These are the people I present to you that were saved in my local church, that were saved through my ministry. We are not just civil servants. We are not just people who work. We are people who work and we want result. And result in church is not money. Thank God for buildings. The result is not buildings. You know the result? Souls. One life. Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one person who repents. And so we should be soul minded. We should have a burden for the environment in which we are. We must know that there are people all around us who don't want to hear about Jesus. We must know that there are people who believe their other God so seriously that they don't want to listen to you. What do we do about them? What do we do concerning them? How do we reach them? How do we attract them? How do we retain them? How do we disciple them? That's the task we have. And by the grace of God, we'll be talking more about that tomorrow. God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters.